We'll continue tonight with our fundamentals of utterance. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll try and see if I can say one or two things by way of recollection to help us. But my aim, or the aim of teaching along these lines, is the instruction we have in the scriptures. Our inheritance will do us no good as long as it remains reserved for us in the realm of the Spirit. God's plan is that inheritance that He has handed over to us in Christ should be something that we make use of, we walk in, and exercise ourselves in on a daily basis. It is not mysterious. It is something that the scriptures gives us clear instructions about. So the reason why we look into God's word is to receive an understanding of how to walk in it. The more we walk in it, the more the reality of what God has said concerning us will dawn upon us. It is true. It is not a figure of speech. We are more than conquerors through Him that has loved us. It is not a figure of speech. It's not something written for the sake of psyching you. It is a reality, as it is impossible for God to lie. So also there is no statement in God's word as an exaggeration. It is a true state of who you and I are in Christ Jesus. So as we pay attention and as we read the scriptures, not in the light of what will be, but in light of what is, then we are able to walk as God created us and ordained us to walk in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Very interesting statement. From verse chapter 12 to chapter 14, we have an expose, well laid out, step-by-step instruction and teaching on the things of the Spirit. Now, again, if you're reading a good King James Version, you notice the word gifts there is italicized. So what he actually says is, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The word spiritual is Greek word pneumaticon. It means things of and that pertain to the Spirit. Things of that pertain to the Spirit. So the scope of what's about to discuss is not your spiritual gift. It's everything that has to do with the Spirit. Now he now says, many may tell you that the things of the Spirit are mysterious, but Paul by revelation says, I would not have you ignorant. The implication of it is this: the things of the Spirit, God doesn't want us to be in the dark concerning those things, and that those things can be communicated and taught. Say with me, the things of the Spirit are the things of the new creation. The things of the Spirit are the things of Jesus. And we're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. What He has, we have in the Father. Hallelujah. So the things of the Spirit are things that belong to us. Our mind needs a fresh education in those things. So the same way we grew up, most of us, or literally all of us, we went through school for the purpose of learning through a syllabus provided by the educational system and environment, for one singular purpose: to educate our minds about the reality of our environment and about the world we live in. The Word of God is our syllabus for learning the things of the Spirit that also belong to us. So as we have received a natural education from the educational syllabus in our natural environment, we also have a spiritual syllabus that God expects us to learn from, and that's God's word. So from chapter 12, it begins to give us instructions concerning how do you flow in the things of the Spirit. So it says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried on to this done by us, even as we were led. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand. So we can summarize this way: everything that the Spirit of God by the Apostle Paul is about to say from chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, he says it is understanding. I'm giving you this for the purpose of what? Understanding, which means I want you to understand. So one more time, let's look at the things of the Spirit can be understood. I have the capacity to understand the things of the Spirit. They are my natural realm. They belong to me. I live there. He operates in me. Hallelujah. It's so important, because as long as those things remain mysterious in your conception, to walk in it will be difficult. Walking in it is what makes you and I give full proof to the testimony of what Christ has accomplished. So they can be understood, they can be taught. And that's why we're looking at those things. So chapter 14 now. We'll come back here later, but chapter 14. Like I read last week, follow after charity. What is charity? Love in action. When love is an expression, it's called charity. So follow love in action and desire one spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Let me first stop and notice this: desire spiritual gifts. Naturally, one of the things that stops many of us from flowing in things of the Spirit is because somehow along the way, either individuals have spoken to you or you have received through religious ideas passed across by other people that the things of the Spirit are strictly things that depend on whatever God wants done. But notice that the instructions we're receiving from God's word, I want you to understand that as you're learning, I'm learning. Because traditionally speaking, what we have believed may be contrary to what has been taught in the scriptures. Do you understand that? So the renewing of your mind means that you are receiving with meekness the engrafted word. The word you are receiving will counter previous arguments that you may have in your mind. The Spirit of God actually says, follow after love. Why are you following after love? You already have love in you. Okay? Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which God has given us. So, if you are a believer, the first proof of you being saved is that you have love inside of you. Say amen. It now says, the love that you have on your inside actually carries out certain activities. Follow the activities of love, then desire spiritual gifts. Desire has something to do with your mind, not with your spirit. Desire is a mind tool. It's an expression of the mind. It says, follow after love, which is a spiritual force. It now says, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. In that singular verse, there are a lot of instructions. It says, follow after. Remember, the scriptures will not ask you to do what you can't do. So you can follow after means, since you are a believer, you are saved, and the proof of your salvation is that the love of God dwells in your heart. It says, when love begins to move, or love will give you direction, follow love. Or let love be the motivation behind what you want to. It says, then it is safe to desire spirituals, or the things of the Spirit. It says, but rather you may prophesy. When it says rather, he even says you have a choice as to prioritizing it. Hallelujah. It's very interesting. He actually says you have a choice when it comes to prioritizing, which means you just say, it is whatever God gives me. And he says no. He says, when you're desiring, since you can desire, and since your desire will bring these things into expression, you can even choose which one of them should find expression in you. He says, but rather you may prophesy. Follow me carefully. It's important. Because when we move over into believers' meeting, again, the reason why many people, or we have only a few in a congregation flowing in things of the Spirit, is not because only a few are giving, it's because only a few understand. So Paul says, I give you to understand. In other words, what is blocking your flowing is that you don't understand, not because God hasn't given. So there are people who are flowing with what belongs to all of us because they simply understand more. If it belongs to all of us, then all of us have the right and have the ability to flow. But some will flow more because they seem to understand more. Hallelujah. Are you getting the gift? So it now says, follow after love, desire things of the Spirit. The word desire spiritual gives me desire spirituals or things that pertain to the Holy Ghost. It says, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. So he says that even in your desire, you through desire, you can decide the particular one that will be in expression. That tells you something, that the things of the Spirit, listen carefully, does not have to do with God's willingness alone. Christ is an expression of God's willingness. If God gave you Christ, with Christ he gave you all. We established that, isn't it? Romans chapter 8, verse 31, verse 32. The Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, or delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely also give us what? All things. So God used Christ as a measure of what he will give to the new creation. If he has therefore given you Christ, he gave you life, he gave you utterance, he gave you knowledge, he gave you wisdom. Through Christ he sanctified you, through Christ he gave you all. So if Christ is a standard, therefore, he's now saying, since you know that with Christ came all, what is left on your part, not on God's part, is that you have to learn how to desire. Let me put it another way. The implication of this is this. There is something about the soul of man and the direction in which he expresses desire that determines what will happen or what will be in operation. Hallelujah. It's very important. There is something between, when it comes to your soul, spiritual realities, that your soul has to covet and desire. Do you notice that? Now, hear me in context. Practice what I'm about to say. If there's a particular kind of house that you have, even if it takes 10 years and you keep desiring it, one day you will live inside that house. The soul of man has the capacity to bring into expression whatever the soul of man wants. If it's a car, one day you will find yourself driving a car. Somehow things will work together because the soul of man is a powerful tool. It now says, desire things of the spirit. It now says, since your desire can bring any of those things into expression, prioritize prophecy. Hallelujah. Are you following? Prioritize prophecy. Notice, is actually telling you that the responsibility of expression is not on God's side, it's on your side. Let me take your mind back a little bit, because again, if you want to flow with God, you have to believe that what God says you have it. You cannot consult your mind. Now, we'll go back to what we looked at last week, because if your mind is a governor of your life when it comes to spiritual things, you are a babe, you are unlearned, and you will never be able to fully operate in spiritual things. There's your mind, it has its place. There's your spirit, it has its place. How you interrelate with both is what determines whether you remain spiritually immature or you become mature. So it says to him, follow after love. Again, it means you can desire things of the spirit, but rather therefore means that prioritizing what comes into expression is actually dependent on you or me. What is coming to expression as I stand before you? The grace to teach. Is it flowing? Yes. Can I ask you something else? Yes. How? I simply need to just desire it to come into expression. God is now saying, he is not the one who is directly in control. For when he gave you everything, he gave you all. And the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. They are on warranty. He never takes them back. It means therefore that your conduct, listen carefully, does not invalidate the operation of the gifts. Let me say that again. Your moral rightness or wrongness doesn't invalidate the gifts of God. Your moral rightness will help your mind, but it doesn't help God. What helps God? Grace. How did he give it? Grace means it was not on the platform of your deserving it. It was on the platform of God's free gift in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ and he gave you Christ, he gave you everything before you ever asked, before you ever knew you would need it, because he gave you Christ. Do you understand? If that's the platform, therefore, your moral standing, the presence or the absence of it has nothing to do with the gifts of God. It is faith that releases the expression. So he gives step-by-step instructions. He says, follow after love, then desire. Why is he saying follow after love? He's actually saying there are people that can bring those things into expression and they're not following love. It is the reason why people stand to minister and their intention is to impress. You are not following love. Do you understand what you're saying? Now listen carefully. Let me say we don't have time. We'll go to chapter 13 and look at something. Because it said that even if I can prophesy and speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, and become as a sounding cymbal, what does it say? It's saying love should be the motivation behind me operating any of the things of the spirit and ministering them. Love should be the motivation. What does that also mean? It means you can do it without love. Let me put it the other way. It means even when you're not working in love, it doesn't stop you from flowing. If you still flow. Why? God didn't give you on the basis of what you do or you don't do. As a matter of fact, the Corinthian church that Paul was writing to, they were very carnal. They were doing all kinds of things. The gifts of spirit were flowing. Paul was not saying, you're operating in things, but you don't really have the understanding of how to use them. So let me write to you, since it's in operation. I'm not writing to you so that it can be in operation. I'm writing to you, since it's in operation, how to use them properly. Do you get it? Listen carefully. You know, you can be given a car. You can be given the keys to the car. You can go and start the car. Then you can be eating the steering wheel and saying, car, why are you not moving? Particularly if the car is automatic. There's a place to place the gear for the car to respond. So he said, they told me that once I start the car keys, I press the tattoo, all the car is doing is make noise. By that time, smoke will have filled your compound or wherever you are, and the car is just not moving. This is a stupid car. It's supposed to be, it's not moving. You are not following the instructions. Do you have the car? Yes. Do you have the key? Yes. Do you know how to start? Yes. Do you know how to move it? No. Will the car work? Yes. Does the car require how good or nice you are to work? No. The car actually is not designed to respond to your conduct. It's designed to respond to your knowledge. If you understand what I just said, say amen. Its response to your knowledge means that anybody that knows how to drive the car, including a thief, the car will move. Have you noticed cars don't say that? Hello, 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 I don't know you. Who are you? You're not Mr. Wiley. Get out. No, it doesn't say anything. If the thief comes, presses the engine, knows what to say, the car will move. And it's not because the car is partial to the thief. It's because the thief knows how to move the car. Do you understand? So the car is indifferent to whoever drives it, as long as you know how to operate. So it is with the things of the Spirit. If you are in Christ, the things of the Spirit are your natural realm. The instructions we have in God's word is, how do we use what we already have? So say with me, I have the things of the Spirit. They live inside me. They are resident in my spirit. God has given them to me in Christ Jesus. I have all the operations of the Spirit abiding in my spirit, ready to be expressed at any time. That's a major step. I just got you to confess. Why? It is true. So he says again, follow after love. The implication of that statement is this: love will always be in motion in a believer's life, particularly when it comes to your personal prayer life or when it comes to you gathering together with the saints. Follow after love simply means that many times when you step out to pray, even in your own personal life, images of people sometimes comes to your mind that you were not thinking of before. If you understand how the Spirit of God works, if you know what following love means, it means that as you want to start to pray now, you have about 3 prayer points, but the image of the person coming to you, you are meant to pray for that person. That's why the picture suddenly starts coming to you. If you pray for that person, what are you doing in your personal life? You are following after love. Are you getting me? I'm using illustrations so you understand. But when you come to church, follow after love means that let the ultimate reason why you're yielding to the manifestation of the Spirit be the fact that you want to bless someone. That's what following after love. Hallelujah. Following after love in a local assembly, whether it's leading worship or doing anything in church, is that you want to minister, not to entertain, not to impress. That's what following after love means. It now says desire. So the slant of your soul per time, when you know something is available, and through covetousness is not a bad word, it depends on what you are coveting. The Bible actually encourages that you should covet things of the Spirit. It says, when you desire, the slant of your soul, which is expressed by your desire, will actually bring the things of the Spirit into expression. He even says, it is so certain to be in expression that he says, rather that you may prophesy. You can even prioritize which one will come first. Hallelujah. Are you flowing with me tonight? All right, let's move on. Now, look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Quickly. I didn't spend that much time there. For he that what? Speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now, notice the word unknown is in italics. There is no such thing as unknown tongues. There are other tongues, but there's no such thing as unknown tongue. Unknown means none. There's no one in existence that understands it. That's what unknown means. But the people here added it to aid the understanding. But in this case, it takes away from the understanding. So the proper way to read this is, he that speaketh in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Notice what him is in his eyes. So it is not him that no man understands, it is what he said that no man understands. Let me say that. Do you understand what you said? He that speaks in a tongue speaks not to what? To men. His primary audience is not men, but to God. For no man understandeth. And that's why he says, no man catches the meaning. It is not him they don't understand. It is what he is saying that is not understood. He now says, howbeit in the one spirit, he speaks mysteries. So, it is a tongue. It is a language. It is a language of the Spirit. In the Spirit, mysteries means is making sense. Mystery is not something that nobody knows. Mystery is something that if you know, you require an initiation to understand it. So when I'm speaking in tongues, listen carefully. God knows what I'm saying. Jesus knows what I'm saying. The Holy Ghost knows what I'm saying. My spirit knows what I'm saying, but my mind may not know what I'm saying. Hallelujah. So when you use the word mystery here, it's in relative to my mind, not to other parties. It says, how be it, or however it may be, in the spirit, it's speaking what? Mysteries. This is tongues in private life. What is the direction? Listen carefully, because it's important that you get these principles. What is the direction of these tongues? It is from a man to God. It requires no interpretation. Why? It's devotional language. You are making sense where? In the spirit. It is you and God conversing. It is not you and man conversing. So, number one, there is tongues with you and God conversing. There is tongue, it is God conversing with man. In other words, the difference in the operation of tongues is that all tongues are the same in essence, but in purpose and use, they differ. So, there is tongues directional, it is man to God. Then there's another tongue, it is God to man. You understand what I just said? Okay. So, palif rekis to brasti lekia tala shapros to kalien anki stetia. Eniambo kuries telefrite ligatista. An awareness, a stronger consciousness of all that God has accomplished in the Holy One, in the risen One, who is forever seated on the behalf of all saints as they walk upon the heart, will dawn more strongly upon their consciousness, upon our consciousness, as we learn to plumb the depths of the rich reserves of the inheritance that God has made available for you in Christ Jesus, such that you will never know a down day again, and disappointment will be a distant memory never to occur in your experience ever again. Now, let me tell you why that occurred. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 2, it is man directed towards God. The one you saw in expression now is God directed towards man. They are not the same. So when I gave that message in tongues, I needed to interpret, because it is God wanting to talk to the congregation, to open up, which is an instruction or a teaching that came through what? Tongues and interpretation. So, number one, understand, in verse 2, it's talking about devotional tongues, or the tongues that you use in fellowship with God, which requires no interpretation. Do you understand? That belongs to every single Christian. Jesus said, in my name you speak with new tongues, and the primary way you express it is in devotion or personal prayer to God. But there is another use of tongues that is now God to man. So in verse 3, he's talking about you talking to God. He says, no man catches the meaning or understands. Why? You are not addressing men, so it requires no interpretation, because God understands what you are saying perfectly. Do you understand? Look at verse 3. Verse 3. But he that speaks unto men what? Notice what 3 is that says. So he speaks unto men edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. Verse 4. Either one speaketh in a tongue, edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the what? The church. Okay. So when I'm giving prophecy or exercising myself in prophecy, which is inspired utterance in a known tongue, I am ministering not to God, I am ministering to the church or to people. But when I'm speaking in tongues, my primary audience is God and not people. So the only time tongues becomes a tool for ministering people is when I have an interpretation which I will convey to men. Do you understand that now? So there is tongues to God, there is tongues from God to men. Do you understand the difference? They are not the same. When we come together, the use of tongues, when all we are doing in church is that we are having a prayer service and we are speaking in tongues, we are exercising 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. He that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understands how beat in the spirit is speaking what? Mystery. So it's a prayer language which we are expressing mysteries to which God understands. And we're praying our divine will and purpose. But when we are having a meeting, a believer's meeting, the direction of the tongues will change. So listen carefully. It's the same tongues, but the direction, the use, and the purpose now differs. By extension, this is what he's saying. The person who has been speaking mysteries with God is the one who also has spoken long enough to himself to have something to come to the saints, to come and minister to them. But when he's coming to the saints, what is he bringing forth? He is now coming to minister to them in a language that they will understand, or what the Bible calls prophecy. Let me go back to what I said last week. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 18. Verse 18. Let me show you something. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Next verse. Yet in the church, notice that in the church, I'd rather speak five words by understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also. In other words, Paul is saying, I want to obey the law in verse 1. What is that law? Follow after love. Did you see that? It now says, yet in the church, it says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church, yet in the church. So where did Paul speak in tongues more than them all? It wasn't in the church. It wasn't in the church. Paul was saying, I don't make a habit of speaking plenty of tongues in church. I make a habit of doing that in my private life. But when I come to the church, I prioritize blessing the saints or ministering to them in such a way that they will be blessed, and I can't get that done by coming to them with plenty of tongues. Do you understand? So he says, yet in the church, I thank my God I speak with them, yet in the church, I rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Hallelujah. Very interesting. Number one is saying this. If I want to be able to minister accurately, with simplicity to saints in the local assembly, I must have done a lot of tongues in my private life. That's what he's saying. Notice it says 10,000 words in tongues. Actually, if you have ever experimented with spiritual things, you will discover that it will take you about an hour plus to successfully speak 10,000 words in tongues. That means he's not talking about doing tongues for 3 minutes and stopping. He's actually saying, if I want to come to the church, and Paul says, I am the one that will decide. I want to come to church, and I want to be a blessing to someone. If I'm going to be a blessing to someone, I don't come to church with tongues. I come to church with understanding. What he's saying is this, I must come to church with mindset that I want to help, bless, edify, or strengthen someone. I must have done a lot of tongues privately in church. So he says, yet in the church, it means speaking in tongues, when I say, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, that more than you all is not something that I do in church. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? Okay. Very important you understand the principle he's saying. He says that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongues. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I'd rather. I'd rather means that Paul is saying it's my own prerogative what I do when I come to the church. As a matter of fact, I have done enough speaking in tongues in my private life that when I get in church, I even choose the way I want to express the Spirit. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Here's where what I'm attempting to do with us over this season. I want to move us away from this mindset is that the Spirit wills. The reason, Pastor, why I'm not flowing is because the Spirit is not willing. No, the Spirit is willing. It is your understanding that is blocking the flow. If you open up your understanding, you will see the Spirit is more than willing. More than willing. Paul is giving step-by-step instruction that's pointing something out that we have unconsciously ignored, and that is the will of man. It's so simple, you need help to miss it. So simple, you need help to miss it. If I look at what it says in the next verse, see what it says in the next verse. Verse 20. Brethren, be not what? Children. In one. When you use the word be not, the implication is that whether you are or not lies in your power. It didn't say you are children in understanding because you were made that way. It means you chose to remain that way. That means I'm giving you knowledge. If you reject it, you remain children in understanding. It says be not means that it's within your power whether you be mature in understanding or you be a child in understanding. So to be a child in understanding means to be a novice in things of the Spirit. And he's saying it's a choice. So he says, be not. Notice the phrases very well. Be not means being that way or not being that way is within your control. And Paul is saying, that's why I told you that because I am not a child in understanding, I have said that I will speak plenty of tongues in my private life so that when I come to church, I can come to bless. Why? I am mature in my understanding. That's what Paul is teaching. So it says, brethren, be not children in understanding. How be it in malice? In understanding, be men. But in malice, be children. You know, there's some amazing things that I say in scripture. It says, in malice, be what? Be children. Who are those referred to as children? Simple, easy, innocent. He's not thinking anything ungodly of any other person. He just doesn't know anything. He said, when it comes to malice, it's okay for you to be. But when it comes to understanding, be men. Understanding of what? things of the Spirit. Where is it coming from? Verse 14. Go back to verse 14. Thank you. Verse 14. For if, notice that if I pray, notice it didn't say if I am made to pray. It is I, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Next verse. Notice the instructions. Next verse. What is it then? Stop. Again, key to meditating, understanding what the Bible writes. He says, this is a fact that can't be argued against. Every single time I am praying in tongues, it is my spirit that is praying. It is a language that's proceeding not from my intellect, but from the mind of Christ resting within my spirit. Tongues is native to the recreated human spirit. That's what he's saying. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So I can say this way, if I want to locate my spirit, every time I'm speaking in tongues, it's my spirit man that is active. That's what he's saying, it's not my intellect. If it is true and clear and certain that every time I pray in tongues, it's my spirit, what is it then? That means, what then will I do? Since I now know that every time I'm praying in tongues, it's my spirit that is praying. That says, I will, glory to God, pray with the spirits. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with understanding also. Did you see that? Is that your Bible? You need to underline it in capital letters. If you have a marker, mark it. You put it down. Look at it. Go down, jog, run, come back. Is that reading the Bible? He said, I will. He actually says, your will releases spiritual flow. Your will. Your will. See, you are a joint heir. There are things you think you need permission for that you already have permission for. What's stopping you? Your will. Your will. I will pray with it. What is it then? Since every time I pray in tongues, it is my spirit that is active. And within my spirit is the Holy Ghost and all the flow of God. What will I do then as a result of knowing that once I pray in the spirit or in tongues, my spirit praying, I will pray with the spirit. I will what? Pray with the understanding also. What is it saying? If I pray in the spirit, in the same manner, I can pray out whatever I've said in the understanding also. Hallelujah. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. What is it saying? The same way, when I sing in tongues, my spirit is singing. I will use the same exercise of my will to sing out the interpretation in understanding also. That's what he's saying. And he says, it's the same flow, it's not a different flow. I said something last week. In your natural way of reasoning, some of us think it is more easy to give a message in tongues than to interpret it. That is the way to sink to your mind naturally. But the Bible says, what is it then, brethren? I will. You know what he's saying? If your mouth can frame the words in tongues, your mouth can frame the word in understanding. Hallelujah. Your mouth can. Do you notice when I give a message in tongues, I don't stop to think? Because I didn't stop to think about the tongues I will speak. So I don't stop to think about interpretation. Because in fact, let me tell you this, I am learning from the interpretation that's coming out too. I was standing in front of someone last week and somebody asked me, and then I was trying to explain and I spoke, can you remember, in tongues. What I said in tongues, when I said interpretation, I learned from it because I've never heard anybody say that before. That tongues and interpretation are like semi-streams. Did you remember that message? I've never heard that before. In fact, the Bible says that you may all prophesy that all may learn. So I learned. When it says all means including the speaker. Why is the speaker learning? Because the message is not coming from his intellect. The message didn't come from my intellect, but it enriched my intellect because I have never heard anything like that before also. So, for the first time, I heard myself say that tongues and interpretation are like semi-strings. One, you can't have one without the other. So, it blessed me. In fact, I'm going to get that particular part of the message. You listen to the rest of what I said. Why? It says, you may all prophesy that all may learn. Why are you learning? Your spirit knows more than your mind. Far more. So Paul now says, how do I catch up with the things of the Spirit? Since I know if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. And praying in tongues is something I can do at will. So here's what I would do. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will switch over to understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will switch over to what? Understanding. Why? Once I do the Spirit first, like clockwork, it will draw out the understanding part. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. When you begin to practice these things, you will see they are so. Don't be afraid. The same mouth that can frame tongues will frame the understanding of everything you've said. The same mouth. You know, so I think somebody asked last week, I think it was Martin, so I was saying that if you sing out in a spiritual song, must the melody follow? Must it be the same melody when it comes to understanding? It doesn't have to be. It is interpretation. So we have unconsciously thought that it is easier to give a message in tongues and that the difficult part is giving interpretation. Not so. Not so. They follow the same. In fact, let me tell you what I really believe. I believe that the major work is to give the message in tongues. That's major work. Not interpretation. Interpretation is easy. They follow the same order, the same pattern. So it is our ignorance that separates the two. They work together. Did you have a message in tongues? You also have the interpretation. It is your ignorance that separates. If you tell yourself, I will give it, then Stavivia will give interpretation. You are the one who gave it. As you give it, you also have. But why are you saying that? Because faith, this one is easier. Let her do the difficult part. What is doing that? Your ignorance. Not because you don't have it, but because you are afraid. What if, what if, what if? But forget about what if, you already gave the message. With the message will come what? Interpretation. They flow together. Hallelujah. They flow together. So look at next verse. We'll come back to it. Look at next verse. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the land say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing that he understandeth not what thou seest? Next verse. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not one edified. Hallelujah. Instructions here are just beautiful. Sometimes I don't know where to see. Let me see what it's saying. What is this saying when it says, here's when I shall bless with the Spirit? Remember, the scriptures are a continuous flow. What is explaining to us is this. It says, verse 14, for if I pray in my own tongue, my spirit prays. My understanding is unproven. So what will I do? Or since I know my spirit is active every time I pray in tongues, this is what I will do. I will use my will to pray deliberately. I'm not waiting for anything to move me. Since I can pray in tongues at will, I can give interpretation also at will, because they follow the same order. So he says, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with Spirit, I will sing. And he says, as when I shall bless. What does he mean by blessing the Spirit? It is what you just finished doing in verse 15. When you were praying with your spirit, you were blessing God. Do you understand now? So as when I shall bless me, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned? So there are people who occupy the room of the unlearned. Say not me. Say not me. Say not me. To occupy means you are paying rent there. Have you paid rent for a place where you didn't know you were living there? Is that possible? Is that possible? No. How shall he that occupy the room and say amen at the giving of thanks? For thou verily give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So here's the issue. The one that occupies the room of the unlearned, the word unlearned means not trained, not schooled in things of the spirit. He says, how shall he say amen at the giving of thanks? You have given thanks well, but it's not edified. Let me put it this way. You are giving thanks well every time you are praying the spirit. But here's the issue. Whether what you said, listen carefully, is understood or not, those who are learning the spiritual thing know to say amen. Not because they understood what you said, but they understood what you did. Let me rewind. Should I take that again? What does it mean to be unlearned or to occupy the room of the unlearned? What it means is this, that he says that when you are operating this way, you are praying in the spirit, giving thanks in spirit, the other person who occupies that room is saying, me, I will not say amen to whatever my mind doesn't understand, though. I'm not going to say amen. What did you just do now? Have you finished your tongues? Let's now pray re-prayer. What's he doing? He's unlearned. Why? The Bible says it is not necessary that you must understand everything that is said. You just need to understand what was done. What was done? you have given thanks well. Do you understand what I just said? So he said, let us lift up our hands and sing in tongues. You don't have to understand what you said. You just need to believe that in line with the scripture, I have praised God well. Who are you? You occupy the room of the learned. So if you agree with the scriptures that when I lift up my hands and I sing in tongues, I'm giving thanks well, the Bible says you are learned in spiritual things, or in understanding you're a man. Are you getting it? It doesn't mean that everything that was spoken you understood, but everything that was done in the light of scripture you understood. How did you understand? The scripture says when I behave that way, or you as a believer, you behave that way, you are giving thanks well. Hallelujah. Do you notice when you are conversing with God and you are speaking mysteries, more than 90% of what you have said, you don't know. I mean, even know everything you said in tongues. But what does the Bible say about praying in tongues? It said, how beat in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Why are you speaking that way or praying that way? Because you believe it. And because you believe it, what are you doing? You are occupying the room of the enlightened. It means that even though your mind doesn't always get in on it, you still know according to your authority to scripture that you are doing the right thing. You understand? So, because you are doing that, what does the Bible call you? You are learned or schooled in things of the Spirit. It now carries that same principle over to operating things of the Spirit. It says, when you bless with the Spirit, the one who occupies the room of the unlearned, remember, when you bless with the Spirit, you have done something right and proper. The scripture says, you have given thanks well. It says, but there are those who occupy the room of the unlearned. Who are those? They've decided that their minds will be the governor of their experiences. Do you understand what I just said? So, when you say your mind, when it comes to spiritual things, must be the governor of your experiences, you are a babe in spiritual things. You're not going to grow. Because you are telling yourself, if I don't understand it, I will not flow. Yet, what you are operating in is primarily a spiritual thing. So, it says, a mind that's in alignment with God's word, when it comes to the flow of the Spirit, is a mind that is learned in spiritual things. So it says you are giving thanks well, but he that occupies the room of the alignment will not say amen. Why is he not saying amen? Not because he can, but he said he won't. Why is he saying he won't? He has not aligned his will. Remember again, it is with your will that you allow things of the Spirit to flow. With your will, with your will, with your will. So the question we should ask when we come together in a spiritual meeting is this: will you prophesy? Not will God make you prophesy. Who are those who are unlearned? They are waiting for God to make them. I don't know when you got saved, but when I got saved, it was not a popular teaching that after you are filled with the Spirit and you spoke in tongues, you can continue. That teaching wasn't common. 1988. God saved 1986. Rededicated 19. Between 1986 and 1988, my rededicator must have broken a number of times. Because if the rededicator can break, you know when you say every attack or you go and rededicate, just run there, go and rededicate. No teaching of righteousness until your rededicator is in a mess. And even God will say, if you leave that chair, no come. don't get up. Where are you going again? That's the 56th time this year. They are going to the altar. Is it you they're talking about? What was the problem? The way they used to do altar call better. I don't know why. You know, knowledge is good though. This thing you are enjoying now is good. The way preachers used to preach back then, they feel they are filled in their ministry. There's nobody at the altar. So when they're giving altar call, now is for those who are lost. But when they want to give altar call, if you are yet to give your life to Christ, tomorrow may be too late. Tonight may be too late. Come out now. Jesus is calling you. After that set, if you're giving your life to Christ and you're not sure of your salvation, come out now. If you are giving your life to Christ, but has not been living right. You know who you are. If Jesus comes now, will you make heaven? Come out now. If you give your life to Christ, you are there filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is calling you. Come out now. There will be hardly anybody left sitting down. The altar will be full. Because the preacher is happy when people come out to the altar, even when they should not come out. You understand? So, by the time you finish dedicating your life, your rededicator will be broken at the end of the day. And there was no teaching that when you get filled with Spirit and you spoke in tongues on that first day, then you can continue. So, when you are high, you just speak and then you stop for 2 weeks.
And something happened, just continued. So there was no, why? We kept thinking it was God who stopped, not knowing where they were the ones who stopped. You understand? Now, a spiritual being, somebody who is on land or occupies the room of the land, what is he saying? I will minister when God makes me. But verse 14 says, if I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Is if I speak, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. My will therefore gives expression to my spirit. What makes up my will? My mind. What else? My mind. Knowledge of God's word makes my will align. Have you ever heard the scripture from the Old Testament before? Isaiah 1:18 that says, if you are willing and what? I know you'll obey it. If you are willing and what will you do? Okay, so there's a land now in Christ. That your willingness and your obedience to the principles will make you enjoy. There's a feast, a table prepared before you when it comes to things of the Spirit. Paul says, I will. By the Spirit, I will. Why is Paul saying I will? Because will expresses spirit. Will gives spirit permission to flow forth. So, implication is this. No matter how strong the flow of the spirit is in my spirit, if I don't will, nothing happens. It is aligning my will that makes me stand before you to teach or to do any other thing. It is aligning your will that will make you come forth before the congregation and minister something to the congregation. Why? You will. So it is not even God, it is you giving expression. What determines whether you come or not? You will. You will. It says, in understanding be men, in manners be children. In other words, don't occupy the room of the unlearned. The unlearned are saying, I will if something forces me. I will soon get up as long as I sense the unction. No, the unction is in you at all times. The unction never goes on vacation. So he says, don't be a child in spiritual things. Be a man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if I pray in the spirit, sorry, in tongues, my spirit prays. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. Or in the same way in which I was able to express my spirit in tongues, I can express my spirit in understanding also. Which is, I allow my mind a participation in those things also. And it says, it's the same flow. It's the same flow. It's not a different or a separate flow. It's the same flow. Once I agree the same flow, my understanding will yield to the things of the spirit, and I will bring forth what is meant to edify others. So if I come into a place where there are those who occupy the room of the unlearned, what will I do? I will switch over from what I am doing in tongues to understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at the next verse. Let's read down again. I want you to get this. It's so important. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Next verse. Brethren. No, next verse. You jumped. Yet in the church, I rather what? Speak 5 words with my understanding. That by my voice. Say it's my voice. Say it's my voice. Why do you sound the way you sound in tongues? Because that's how you sound. I know you're expecting a mysterious answer. Why do you sound the way you sound? High pitch, falsetto. It's because that's how you sound. It's by your voice. It's not by my voice. Why is your tongue not like my own? Because it is your own. Why is your tongue short or long? Or interpretation long or short? Is an expression of your understanding and your personality. Let me say something that may amuse you. When it comes to interpretation, it is interpretation, not translation. Interpretation is a showing forth of the meaning of what was said. It is the meaning, it's not translation. It's not word for translation. So some people, if you ask them a question, a simple question, they will give you a 30-minute answer. Why? They're eloquent, they are detailed, and they go into long speeches about things. That's how they are wired. Do you know, interestingly, when they enter spirit, that's how they behave also. When they give a short message, 30 seconds in tongues, for the next 5 minutes, they may be telling us what it means. So some people can say much in a small sentence. Some people will say much in a long sentence. Both of them are still of the spirit, but an expression of passing on the person, because he said, I will. So important that these things, you see, you need to understand that these things have more to do with us than we got. Hallelujah. Why then do I study? Why do I meditate the word? Why do I read the word? Because when I'm giving an interpretation, God will not, by spirit, through my spirit, bring forth an interpretation that is not in line with scriptures. So what I gain from my study meditation of scriptures is a vocabulary to communicate what I feel the spirit is saying. So you won't come and say that. Brethren, when Abraham led the children of Israel out of Egypt, wait for you to finish and tell you, sister, you can go back and say it again. God permits. When Moses faced Goliath, the Lord said, your Goliath shall die. You already told us that it is Moses that faced Goliath. We know that it was you who mixed it up. So we take the message and leave Moses alone. We replace in our mind Moses with David. It was not God who said Moses. It was you who said Moses. But we get the gist of the message. We stay with the one that were defiled. What I'm trying to say is this. If you have been meditating and saying with truth of scriptures, when you're given a special spiritual things, the accuracy will increase. Do you understand? Accuracy increases. So, it is your meditation in the word that helps you to be able to convey the flow of those things. But here's what I want you to see. Every one of us, say everyone, every one of us is enriched when it comes to utterance. Why do some exercise more? They yield more. They will more. Why have you not flowed as much? You have not willed as much. What are you meant to do? You will more. How do you will more? You desire more. Do you know between now and time we're starting meetings, you can just set your desire. I am going to be prophesying more now. And the Bible says through desire you can bring it to pass. I'm going to be bringing forth more spiritual songs through desire. It says desire spirituals, but rather that you may prophesy. Prophesy simply means that somebody who wants to bless us with spiritual songs can come out and sing a song in tongues. And then because he has decided to prophesy, he will now sing the same songs in the standing so that we can all hear the lyrics. Hallelujah. Some people are not giving too much to music. We stand and give a psalm. And then somebody else will come with the words of those psalm, not necessarily word for word, but at least the meaning, and come and sing it instead. Why? The person is giving more to sing and sing the same thing instead. And you know what? That it can carry the same anointing and it will bless more people. So somebody gives, I think, which meeting did we have last year? Pass the cup. December last year. Okay, so who was it now? Okay, it was Sonny. Okay, so I got up, I had an instruction. Now, that was an instruction. What was instruction? By the way, by the hand into the land. Now, why was I able to give it? Experience the spiritual things told me that when it's first coming, to look at it doesn't make sense. But I just said, I heard in my spirit, by the way, by the hand into the land. By the way, by the hand into the land. By the way, by the hand. He came up and sang it out. And when he was singing, he got more. Are you with me tonight? He sang it, he got more. Do you know what was interesting? We were more blessed when he sang it. Or he made a stronger impression on us when he sang. If I still remember the song now. So that you can tell that if I had forgotten the utterance, the song would have reminded me why. Because he carried more effect when he now came and sang it. Do you understand? So what happened when he sang it? He blessed more people. That's how the things of the spirit flow. Hallelujah. Very important. So God wants to pass across a very important message that will affect the whole meeting. It starts with, by the way, by the hand into the land. Then somebody now comes and sings out the rest of it and the whole meeting. How many remember that meeting? What, December? December. And the whole meeting changed from that. And in fact, when we got that song, we got many other things right. Now imagine, Brother Sonny standing in the room of the Orlanet, occupying the room, paying rent there. Sensing and saying, I will not get up. Because it is a function of will, not God. The question therefore is, will you stand to minister? Or will you occupy your room in your seat? When we're having that meeting, if you hold on to your chair too long, what are you doing? Occupying the room. Who's going to ask you how much have you been paying? Because ignorance is expensive. What do? You leave the room. Stop paying rent there. How do you stop paying rent? Act on the instructions that you have been given. Hallelujah. Act on the instructions you have been given. That's why a few times in the meeting, we have asked us to do something like, stand up from where you're seated, go across somebody else, sit beside that person, minister to that person. Stop. How do you know you're unlearned? What will I say now? You've come again in this church. Why did I come today? What are you doing? We don't have to know that you're learned. You are telling us in capital letters that you're learned. You are expressing your ignorance. Remember, it is not a function of your mind. So, is it okay when you stand up to go and minister to somebody that your mind doesn't know what you will say? It is perfectly okay. Say it's perfectly okay. Say it's not strange. It's not new. It's not. What will you do? I'm going to round up now. What should you do when that kind of happens? Because we're going to go home tonight, and that's what we're going to do now. First Corinthians, who are looking at me that somebody told you not to come tonight. Somebody told you not to come tonight. It's your flesh. I thank, in fact, you are very spiritual. See how you won the flesh. Can't you see you are more than a conqueror? See how you overcame the flesh. You are here. You are very spiritual. I love you for being here tonight. That song that took you to come is your flesh. That watch TV. There's much more than TV in church. 1 Corinthians 14, 6. Verse 5 plus. Look at verse 5 and 6. Listen. If you get this, when I ask you to go and meet somebody, you know exactly what to do. Listen carefully. Now, it doesn't matter though it's a bad testimony. If you have not prayed from Monday to today, it's a bad thing. We will not expose you. The Spirit will not expose you. But see what we are about to say. Verse 5. We'll start from here next week. That you all speak with what? Tongues. But rather that you what? Is that in your Bible? For greater is it that one than he that speaketh with, except he that the church may receive. Now, notice again, be very conscious of the language he's using. He says, I actually would like all of you to speak with tongues. Rather that you may prophesy is not what he says in the original rendering. What really says in the end is saying, I would that you all speak with tongues in order that you may prophesy. Did you hear that? I would that you all speak with tongues in order. Question, can we all speak with tongues? Okay. Why should we speak in tongues? Why should we speak in tongues? Notice what it says, for greater. That word greater means of more benefit. It's a person that prophesies. Why is he prophesying? It's a language that he can hear. If I come to Aunt Mercy and I start speaking in tongues, the question I should ask is that, what will I profit her? If I want to profit her, can I start with tongues? Yes. Should I stop with tongues? No. So why should I speak in tongues? In order. How will you go to somebody tonight? Tongues. Why speaking in tongues? In order. Did you hear what I said? Tongues will bring out what you are really meant to say. That's all. That's what he's saying. So, as you are going to the person, can thoughts come to mind? What will I say now? Yes, the thoughts can come. Why is it coming? What you're about to say is not going to come from your mind. That's why thoughts can come like that. Are you the only one? If they give you mic to amplify what's in people's thoughts, you will thank God for what is in your own thoughts. What is the secret that everybody is meant to be using? I would that you all speak with tongues. Why? In order that you may prophesy. That's the secret. So what do I want to do with prophecy? What should I start with? Tongues. Do you get it? Tongues. Tongues, that's it. Almost every single time they bring people to me to come and pray for them, particularly if I'm privately or in my office, almost every single time, occasionally, I don't need to start with tongues. I just start with understanding, which is I'm flowing so strong in the spirit that I'm speaking everything that I need to say. But most of the time, I start with tongues. Why? It will guide me
into what I meant to say to the person. After I speak in tongues, everything I'm going to say concerning that person will be accurate. Why? I'm not looking to my understanding, my head, which at that time may be empty. I'm looking to my spirit. Hallelujah. So, 1, 2, go pray in tongues now. And in bros the color, yes, the color, susa, frasta lakiata, enke, miros to lakashte, and ekras to subros the color, tia, kishte, a prestiki set ebrediaco, o conclani ensele friste lekiki, shepherdstika satoru, o nefra katuso, o lefreana color, tia da shaka, prastiki set ebrediaca, and ekras to suburo atalagiane, city libra chica, and igumru kelefrike, and enkre esteliko sobracato, and yankla clivri ikistiki sefrestila nashte, and ekrano subrukuta and eka la brung yesteleki anasata la masto olifranda kani again efreya kisto prukuta la gastia and ikla krile kise kise se frestile dashtero ogo kamvrana kieste seto lusta freya int elemiko brukutas and egratele griki she frestike sebro olafrianda kala olofreste legeni antakashte and ikriki sizuprusta frakatobia and efrakuku she frestike leanda kato omungrane esta la frastike suso olose frastile gatia akie nie nije frastiko suso brosto brakata nange eni ankrastike leki kistike sisi frastile ganikish egeni ala kubo omurian stana nia kush oria frakatia ha aka leni ege kikistike sisi frastike le amen. Now watch, just watch. I spoke in tongues. I am coming to her. But now I have spoken in tongues. That's me now. I'm coming to her now. But I'm no longer coming to her in tongues now. I'm going to come to her with understanding. Okay? You understand? Why am I coming out with understanding? I've already spoken in tongues. I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. So I'm coming out with understanding now. Do I know what I'm about to say in that sense? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that I have an idea of the first statement, and then every other statement will come. Why? In the same way, when I was speaking in tongues, I didn't know everything I was going to say in tongues, but I operated by faith and it flowed out. So, sooner than you think, many things are standing. Now, I'm going to say what I want to say because it'll be private in a way that she will understand. That you may not understand, but she will understand. Sooner than you think, yes, it looks as though with all this outstanding, it will take a miracle to see all those needs met. Something has to happen between now and the next 3 months for all those things to be taken care of. But before the 3 months are over, more than what you expect will happen. The miraculous will be at work. Provisions will come. And you will chalk this as another of the many testimonies you have garnered under your belt. For the harvest will be great and your trust in Him will be proven to be true. He will ensure that your testimony remains intact. His faithfulness will overshadow you until every single area where there appear to be a lapse, you will see the fulfillment of His goodness and the manifestation of His power. Hallelujah. Does that make any sense to you? She said very well. Now, I have an idea also of some of the things, but I said in which you understand. Now, I have come to her, no longer in tongues. I came to her with understanding.